Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 856 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You know, I've got another great episode lined up for us. In today's show, I'm going to give away free seeds. Hang out. We'll talk more about those free seeds later on in today's episode. Before we get too far, I do want to send a few shout outs to a few of the great folks who support the show on Patreon. Let's send a big thank you shout out to my buddy Ames High. Let's send a fist bump and a thank you shout out to Johnny Possum. And I also want to send a big thank you shout out to one of my favorite photographers, ADHD Grower. Big thanks and big shout out for all of the continued Patreon support. If you want to support the show on Patreon, make sure you check patreon.com/growfromyourheart. All right, now let's move into the pet peeve portion of today's podcast. That's right. A lot of you may know what a pet peeve is. A pet peeve is something that just drives you crazy. Maybe when you walk into a grow space, or maybe when you look at a friend's grow space on pictures, maybe you see something that just drives you crazy. I like to give you folks the opportunity to send me your grow room pet peeves. And of course, if I read your pet peeve here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iReadDirect.com. Today's pet peeve goes a little bit like this. It says, "Yo, Rasta Jeff, what's up, brother? What's up, bro? Thanks for the great message, and make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds from iReadDirect.com. The pet peeve says, I hope all is well with you and yours. I have a massive pet peeve that I think serious growers know all too well. Yes, I've pre-screened this pet peeve, and I completely agree with you. The pet peeve says, one of my biggest pet peeves is growers who cannot keep track of their clones, and they mislabel their clones with the wrong name, or they just make up new names because they can't remember their plant's lineage at all. Oh, man, that is aggravating. This person says, it drives me nuts and absolutely mad when something is supposed to be sherbet or cake and it smells like burnt rubber. Anyway, hope all is well in your world, and one love from your friend Chooch." Chooch, my dude, thank you for the great pet peeve. I completely agree with you, my dude. If you can't keep yourself organized, I don't want to even get a clone from you. Please label all of the plants in your garden very carefully. It's one very important step. And if you do give me a clone, please make sure that that clone is what it is labeled. I agree with this person. It drives me nuts when they're like, I think this one is this. I think this one is this. Bro, just grow it, smoke it, get rid of it, try again later. Properly label those plants next time. Please label your shit. And if you're going to give me or another person a clone, please make sure that clone is what it's supposed to be. This is absolutely correct. If you, a lot of people are selling clones right now. Like I've talked about before, I sell clones on iReadDirect when they are available. Join the newsletter. You can get updates. But anyway, the Lemon Jeffrey will be available soon in clone form. When people get that, they're going to expect a lemony, citrusy, tall-growing Lemon Jeffrey plant. If I send them a stretchy, skinny OG Kush plant, they're all going to be pissed. So if you do give somebody, sell somebody a clone, please make sure that that thing is what it is labeled, because people get very excited. We grow it. We spend a lot of time. And then 15 weeks later, we find out that you lied to us and gave us something and took money for it. And now we feel slighted. We don't like you anymore. We think you're a dick. 20-something years ago, somebody sold me a clone, and I paid a lot of money for it, and it was not what it was supposed to be. And to this day, I don't fuck with that guy because he took a lot of money from me, blatantly lied to me, saw how excited I was, offered me more cuts of the same thing for more money, and none of those cuts were what they were supposed to be. So I'm not going to say his name, not going to say who he is. I don't fuck with that guy anymore. From a small clone transaction 20 years ago, that's how important it was to me. So that's a great pet peeve. Label your shit, especially if you're going to give it out, share it, distribute it in any way. Make sure that shit is properly labeled. It does matter. A lot of people are like, it shouldn't matter that much. It does. It's like if you went to a restaurant and you were vegan and you ordered a vegan meal and they brought you a steak, you'd be pissed. Just like if you paid money for a clone that was labeled diesel, they brought you strawberries, you would be pissed, just like you should be. I like to consider myself sort of a cannabis historian. I've been around a long time in this industry, in this business, in this community. I watched it go from the black market or the free market, whatever you want to call it. It evolved into the medical marijuana market. Now we've got the full recreational market here. I saw a lot of brands develop here. I saw a lot of brands come and go. I saw a lot of breeders come and go. I saw a lot of products happen. Since I was there in that whole thing as it was happening, I kind of took it as part of my responsibility to become the historian and make sure that all of that shit is proper. And if I want the stories and the history to be proper, I need the genetics and the plants to be proper as well. As a breeder as well, the cannabis historian in me, the breeder, the person that's been here for a while, I want all these stories and things to line up. There's a bunch of bullshit out there. It's one of my responsibilities. I'm taking the responsibility to make sure that all of the cannabis lore is spread properly, spread truthfully, and I want the genetics to do the same thing. So please help me preserve the story, the history, the legend, the lore, and the reality and the truth of cannabis so that we can keep it, keep all this lore, keep it true, keep it positive is what I'm trying to do. All right, I am rambly. That was the pet peeve portion of today's podcast. Thank you once again to my dude, Jooch, for the great pet peeve. Once again, I've got your email address here. Check your inbox for that free pack of seeds from iredirect.com. All right, this is the portion of the show where I do ask you to click like and subscribe. That's right. If you enjoy my cannabis ramblings, please click like. Make sure you click subscribe. That way, every time I put out a new episode, you will get a notification. You never miss any of my amazing cannabis content. All right, let's move into the email, the question and answer portion of today's podcast. Of course, I have a website. That website is iregenetics.com. If you go to that website, on the top, there is a row of tabs. One of those tabs does say Grow Help. If you click on that Grow Help tab, you are given the opportunity to send me a grow question. If you send me a grow question and I read that question here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Today's first question came from somebody who's going to be called Cool J Mans. What up, Cool J Mans? Good to meet you, bro. The question goes a lot like this. It says, "Hey, Rasta Jeff, I love the show. You put out a bunch of useful knowledge." Thank you. That means a lot to me. I'm glad you find it useful. It's good to know that I'm helping somebody out. It goes on. It says, "Anyway, I recently came into contact with my parents' old seed stash." What a gift you just found, my friend. It says, "So these are seeds from the 80s. Is there any chance these seeds are viable or are they way too old?" My dude, Cool J Mans, you have found a great stash there, a great mother load there. There's only one good way to find out if those seeds are still any good, and that is to germinate them. But before you germinate them, have a grow space ready. I don't know if you've already got a grow environment, a grow room built in your house, a grow tent somewhere, but before you germinate these seeds, have a grow room set up just in case they do work. What if you germinate them and they sprout and they look super healthy? You're going to want to get them into some dirt, into some pots, under some lights, get them growing. So my first advice is don't even fuck with them until you've got a grow environment, a grow room, a grow space ready to dedicate to some of these seeds. It doesn't have to be a lot of room, but if you're going to sprout them, grow them, make sure it's worth it. Then the other piece of advice I've got is germinate a bunch of them. See what happens. If they germinate, like I said, get them going, get them growing, treat them just like any other plant that you found. Take clones, keep mother plants, do whatever you can do to preserve it just in case you find a winner. Grow that shit out, sample it, smoke it, choose the best one. You may have something fucking amazing in there. You also may have a bunch of dud seeds. Just keep that in mind. But you may have some real gold in there. So my first step, set up a grow space. Have a grow room ready to go. Step number two, attempt to germinate some of these seeds. The only thing I can recommend to really help you out is if they're real thick shelled seeds, maybe take some light sandpaper and kind of rough up those shells just a little bit to make the water easier to penetrate that shell, make it easier to get that shell open for when the water hits it, it can open and grow a little bit better. Also, the other thing I would recommend, there is a product called Herb. It is spelled U-R-B, Herb. That product will be very beneficial in helping you germinate those seeds. Be forewarned, it is not cheap. That is a costly product. And I say follow the instructions on the bottle and use that to help assist in the germination of your seeds. But if you've got a bunch of them, if you've got like you've got, did you say what you found them in? No, your parents' old seed stash. They're probably in one of those little black film canisters. That's what I'm assuming. That's what all parents from the 80s and 90s had their seeds in. But pour a few out. Pour out 10, 20%. Germinate them. See what happens. If they don't germinate naturally the way you do it, then get some of the herb product and try that way. And if they don't germinate that way, they're probably not going to. But really, have a room set up, have a place for them to go before you even germinate them. Because what if they pop? What if they sprout? You're going to want to grow them. And if you don't have space, that's kind of, you just wasted a bunch of seeds that I could have ran that could have been hot fire. We could have found the next chem dog. we could have been slinging packs. All right. Oh, excuse me for the throat clearing. Not even going to edit that. It's that time of year. It's starting to get cold. I got the beanie on. It's the first night it's been cold in the grow area, in the recording area. I'm starting to get the that winter shift. You get the stuff in your throat and the stuff in your nose in the winter shift. That's coming. So you're going to hear a couple throat clearings. I shouldn't even talk about it that long. Excuse me is what I'm trying to say. Let's get back on track here. Cool J Mans, my dude. Thank you for the great question. I hope I helped you out a little bit. I hope I encouraged you to get in there and grow some of those seeds. And when you do this, when you try this, let me know the progress. Send me some pictures. Let me know how it went for you. Also, maybe wait a little bit because you've got some free seeds coming. All you've got to do is visit iredirect.com. Use that coupon code. Get yourself a free pack of seeds. That way, if these old seeds don't work, you got a backup plan for that grow space I told you to get ready. All right. Thank you for the great question, my dude. Cool J Mans. Let's keep this momentum going. I've got a good vibe flowing today. This next question came from our friend Megatron. Shout out to Megatron. Megatron, make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for that free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. This question did come from the Grow Help tab on iregenetics.com. I know I say the website so many times. Trying to get it programmed in your head. Is it programmed? Are you programmed yet? Have you assimilated? What did I smoke? It's fucking working. All right, where are we? This question came from Megatron. Megatron had a real quick, real short question. This short 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-word question could be a complete podcast. I can answer this with a complete podcast. I'll try to keep this short and sweet so that you understand what I'm saying. But Megatron had a really good question. It says, how do you find stable genetics? That is a very good question. I think the first thing we should focus on is the word stable. What do you mean by stable? In the cannabis realm, the word stable is kind of thrown around and misused. A lot of people think that stability has something to do with the intersex trait. Yeah, maybe those plants aren't sexually stable, but most of the time when we talk about stability in agriculture, we are mostly referring to uniformity amongst progeny, amongst phenotypes in a population. What that means in layman's terms is if I grow 100 plants, I want to see one phenotype amongst those 100 plants. That is stability. If I grow out 100 seeds, all 100 should look just like each other. That means that that line is stable. That's what we talk about in horticulture and agriculture when we mean stability is. If we run a population of seeds, how many phenotypes are you going to get? If you're going to get 4, 6, 12 different phenotypes, that is not considered stable. It may be sexually stable. It may not be intersex, but in terms of stability in the horticultural realm, that is not what we refer to. So in this case, I'm going to focus on the phenotypical stability of a plant. Let's talk briefly about sexual stability because I'm sure that that's what a lot of people are thinking of when the word stable comes up in cultivation and cannabis. Sexual stability, how do we get to that? Buy seeds from a reputable breeder. Most of those seeds should not be intersex, should not be sexually challenged. Most of those should be sexually stable. If you want to do it yourself, breed them. Find a male and a female plant that are both sexually stable on their own. Breed them. If you find any intersex lines, don't breed, or any intersex plants in that line, don't breed with those. Find more plants that don't express intersex traits and breed more and keep breeding. You can go forward in filial generations. You can go back crosses. But breed with plants that don't express intersex traits, and you can breed the intersex out. You can create sexually stable plants. That's my brief sexual stability talk. We're not going to focus on that. Let's talk about main uniformity. That is mainly what I think this question should be about if we're talking about stability in cannabis. So how do we find stable genetics? First, we're going to define stability. In this case, I'm going to talk about uniformity amongst the phenotypes. Like I said before, we're going to plant 50 seeds. I said 100 seeds before. We'll plant 100. In this case, they're regs. At this point, 50 males have been removed from the population. We've got 50 females that look just like each other. That is uniformity. That is stability amongst that population, amongst those progeny there. That's what we're going to start with. How do we get to that point? Like I talked about earlier, breed them. Breed filial generations. You could start with whatever plants you like. I recommend plants that are vastly different in a lot of ways. So in this case, we're going to talk about Arise. We're going to use Arise as our example. Arise was a cross I made several years ago. I have worked the Arise to F3 since then, but let's focus a little more on this Arise. What I think made Arise successful was I used a Daybreaker male and a Golden Goat female to make that cross. And those plants are completely, vastly different. And since I took two plants that had no matching characteristics, no traits that were similar, when I bred those together, it made a great combination and a rise was an amazing cross. So I recommend finding plants that are vastly different. Breed them together. Create your brand new cross. Then here's where we start working on the stability. Find the phenotype you like out of that first cross. The F1, find the phenotype that really gets your attention. The male and the female, find that phenotype. Breed those together. Now you're going to make F2s. And the F2s, you're going to find a lot of different wild phenotypes. The F2s are Pandora's box. You're going to get a lot of crazy shit. Find the phenotype you really like. You've got to really start thinking about what you should have already really been thinking about what you want from this cross. Now you see what it expresses. Really think what you want to narrow down. Find a phenotype that has all of the traits you want. And we'll talk about another option here in just a second. If I remember, I'm going to write parallel down because that's another thing to think. I spelled it wrong, but it's a note. All right, so we're going to find our F2s. One thing we're going to do, we're going to find a plant that has the traits we want, the aroma, the structure, the shape, the vigor, hopefully resistance to powdery mildew, resistance to bugs. Find that plant, find the male, find the female, breed those together. Guess what? We just made F3. We're going to repeat that process, finding the perfect phenotype every time. If you don't do it right, you will know, because when you grow the next generation, it's not going to look how you want. Don't be afraid to do it over again or go backwards and do a back cross to the filial generation that has the traits that you're looking for. So what we're going to do, basically, the easiest way to do this is to keep filial generation breeding this all the way up to F5. If you do this selection properly, it's all about the selection, the male and the female every generation. If you do it properly, by the time you get to the F5, definitely the F6, you will have uniform stability amongst the phenotypes in that population. So if you pop 100 seeds, you pull out 50 of the boys, all 50 of those remaining girls will look like you cut clones. There are a lot of plants that happen that way in the horticultural industry. A lot of the fruit and vegetables have been filial generation or genetically modified to appear that way. But you can make that happen with your cannabis plants. Breed them to F5, F6, and you will find uniformity amongst the population in that population if you have bred this properly. Like I said, it's all about the selection. Breeding is all about selection. You could mess this up very easily, and you could also make this happen perfectly very easily. If you've got a good eye for selection, a good eye for detail, and if you're realistic about what you are looking for, pick a few certain traits and really narrow those down. If you're looking for 32 traits to come out of one plant, you're not going to lock that down in your breeding project. It's going to be a mess. It's going to take a while. Now, that's where I'm going to talk about this other option. This is called parallel breeding. We're going to do the same project, just two different directions. Now, let's just say we're going to focus on Golden Goat to Daybreaker again. We're going to make a rise, but we're going to make a rise version A, and we're going to make a rise version B. Now, in version A, I'm only going to focus on trichomes and flavor. That's all that matters. These plants could be ugly. They can grow goofy. As long as they taste good and they're fully potent, it's all I care about. Now, in the other project in line B, that's where I need to have the beautiful growth structure. That's where I need to have the resistance to pathogens and resistance to bugs. It's really all I'm looking for. And these are just hypotheticals that I want to breed for in my two different lines. So I'm going to breed both of these lines in different projects. These are totally different projects, different male, different female, but same seed batches. I pulled seeds. I got a male that really is frosty. I got another male that's really resistant to bugs. Two different breeding projects happening. A female on the other side, a female on the other side to match my criteria. Two different projects. So I'm going to breed both of those to F5 or F6 until I've reached the stability that I want. Then I'm going to breed them together and make my own true F1. That way I can get whichever, if I've got a bunch of traits I'm looking for, I can get that structure and that resistance and that flavor and aroma. Once I get those, both of those lines to F5 or F6, I can then breed them together, and then I can combine all four of those traits together in a brand new F1 because they're both going to be very dominant traits on both sides of my cross. So then when I cross those together, I'll get all the trichomes, all the terpenes, I'll get all the resistance and all the structure and vigor, breed that together. My new F1 should have a lot of those traits combined if I've done it properly. Then you get to play with that brand new one and keep going in filial generations with that. That is really how to breed for super stability. When you ask why breeders aren't offering plants that are super stable, why a lot of us sell F1s, F2s, why we're doing reversals, S1s, R1s, because it takes years and years to do these filial generation projects, especially if you want to run parallel lines. And then if you're focused on, you can kind of focus on making more seeds or working these lines, but it's hard to do both, to put the seeds out for production and really do what you need to do and focus. So you get one or the other. I found a really nice line in the middle there. I'll do two or three seed production runs and then just a personal run that is just for me to get data and fuck around. Also, I've got a few different locations where I'm able to play around with, so that helps me expand. But let me stay focused here. If you really want to get dialed in, if you really want stable seeds, make them, breed them, get to that F5 generation, breed them. Also, you could buy seeds from reliable breeders. I mentioned buying seeds just a moment ago. If you want seeds that have been bred to the F5 generation, the only breeder I really know of that is doing that is DJ Short. Big shout out to DJ Short for putting those out commercially available. I've made Arise F3s, but I've not made them available because there are not a lot of them. There's not enough of them to make it worth putting out on that sort of a level. The F4s and F5s, those will hit the website, but it's good. Those are years away. That's a while away. Where were we now? So how do you get stable seeds? Define stable. We did that. Breed them to the F5. Buy seeds from a reliable breeder such as DJ Short, or if you really want to get involved, breed them, do that project yourself. So that is how you find uniform and phenotypically stable plants, if that's what you're looking for. Once again, we did touch on those sexually stable plants. I sell very sexually stable plants, if that's what you're looking for. And that is very advantageous to you because you, my friend, Megatron, have got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. All right, podcast world, that's all the questions and answers that I have got for this episode. Before I wrap up the podcast, I do want to let you know that the pre-Black Friday sale on iredirect.com will start on November 16th. That's right. Make sure you check iredirect.com on November 16th. There will be a restock of many of your favorite sold-out items. Also, there will be a fresh drop. That's right. There are new items coming to iredirect. We will have a brand new drop of Ruby Waves. That is the Cherry Paloma to the BC Lemon Skunk. There is another drop of a brand new secret strain as a feminized cross that I will not say the name of that one here on the podcast. That one is coming up November 16th. Also, there will be more of the Double Lemon Skunk. Many of the items that have been sold out will restock. Also, there will be crazy Black Friday sale pricing. That's right. So be ready. The pre-Black Friday sale will start on November 16th at iredirect.com. There will be a lot of great stuff on there. There will be some limited items, some exclusive deals. What I'm saying is don't sleep, stay tuned, be prepared. November 16th at iredirect.com. I think that's all I've got for you for this episode. Make sure you check patreon.com/growfromyourheart. Make sure you check iregenetics.com. Everything you need is at iregenetics.com. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to Jordan S. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Time to take another dab. Grab your piece in and hug up on the bag. Rasta Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, hug your mom, be relaxed.
Hold up.
To show from the knowledge seeds we grow. Tune in now to hear the vibe. Rasta Jeff in our conscious fight. He spreads the truth in every word. Every voice must now be heard. Healing light through cannabis. Grow from your heart, your lips. Rise up higher, find your way. Real strong. song. Natural medicine and love flows within us like a dove. Educate and elevate. Join the journey, don't be late. Open minds to see the truth. In the soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through in this garden, find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Join the movement, sing the song.